Okay, we're good there. Let me start this up here. This is not what I wanted. How do I tell if it's recording? Oh, recording. Okay, welcome, everybody. Stephen Foote is in a jury trial. Rob Van Dyke is the chair. He has not yet joined us. When he joins us, I'll turn the meeting over to him. Oh, sorry, I meant Robert Cosen. Excuse me. Sorry, not Rob Van Dyke. Thanks, Rob. Thank you, Dan. Okay, for Marilyn, who is at home not feeling well, let's just do a roll call. We'll go around the room, and then we'll identify who's online. Well, let's start with you. Go to my left. Oh, Will's got a mouthful. Will Carlson, here for Sim Gill.
Tyson Skeen, UPC.
Ed Montgomery, South Jordan.
Ryan Peters, Durham County.
Steve Gorsley, Layton City.
Kathy Locker, UPA.
James Swink, and for Troy Rawlings.
Marty Jones, UPC.
Ron Wade, UPC.
Dan Burton, Attorney General's Office.
Bob Church, UPC. And then online, we've got Scott Sweat as a guest, Stuart Williams as a guest pending a vote, Yvette Rodier, Marilyn Jaspersen's at home, and Scott Stevenson. Director Stevenson is online, so we've got a quorum. Rob, you're only the biggest picture on the screen. How could I? Jeez, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, okay. Hopefully you all had a chance to review the minutes from September 22nd and December 2nd meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes, any amendments, any motions on the then on the minutes if there's not a discussion?
Move to approve.
Garside moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
And Montgomery seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That was actually Foote who made the motion.
That was Stephen Foote who made the motion. Okay. Okay. Then we will get those minutes posted. And again, on behalf of from the December 2nd meeting, your UPC staff thanks you for thinking of us last month or in December. With Steve Garside's transition of responsibilities at Layton City, it necessitates that we replace him on the council, which we hate to do. And so we anticipate that UMAA will be nominating Stuart Williams, the Clearfield City Attorney, to replace Mr. Garside. And I put it in the notes, but let me just go on record as saying we appreciate Steve. I don't think words really can adequately express what he has done for the council, many years of knowledge, support, friendship, and really appreciate it. Just so you're all aware, at BASIC, we thought that would be his last opportunity to be on faculty. We got a nice silver cup that we presented to him full of candy that he probably did not eat. But we recognized him at the basic prosecutor course. I was going to get him a clock, but Marlise, thankfully, I asked her, and she says he's got plenty of clocks, so don't get him a clock. So anyway, we wanna thank Steve. So Steve is facilitating working with UMA on that nomination, and so I think what the motion is pending UMA nominating Stuart Williams to replace Steve Garside, that would be the vote. Okay, here's Troy. Welcome, Troy. So do we have a nomination on the pending, or a motion on the pending nomination of Stuart Williams?
I would move to nominate.
Ryan Peters moved to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, Ed Montgomery seconded. All in favor?
Right.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that has passed. We welcome Stuart to the council. And thank you, Mr. Garside. Okay. On the budget, it's not current only because we're waiting for November and December's revenue and an expense report from the finance decision. We're always a month or two behind on that. Just so really all I wanted to appraise you of is at the council meeting in September, I let you know that we had applied for grant funding and that part of that grant funding would cover $89,897 of Ron's salary. That was approved, so that has been reflected. And then I did apply for a $16,000 grant from my national organization, NAPC, and also NHTSA is the one that funds that, and we received a $16,000 grant for Train the Trainer, so we'll be holding that in March. When you get down to the training committee report, you'll see who the students are that have been confirmed that are coming, as well as the faculty, but it's a much-needed course. And if there, as you look at who's coming, if there's anybody else that you think that we should reach out to invite, I've got three or four that we're still waiting to hear from, let us know. I mean, we don't want to have a huge class, but at the same time, you know, we want to get as many people in that class that we think, that you all think would be good trainers, so please reach out and let us know. Any questions on the budget? There's not, we don't need to vote to approve, you've already approved it, but any questions on the budget? I think we're going to have a healthy carryover this year again, and so we're kind of watching that because we don't want to come under too close a scrutiny, that if we keep carrying a huge carryover, that will continue to, that our budget will be cut, so we'll keep an eye on that. The legislative issues, we just had SWAT this morning, for those of you that are just joining, I brought to their attention, and I'm bringing to your attention, it's not a bill, but it's the legislative fiscal analyst, Alex Wilson, is the LFA for the Executive Appropriations Subcommittee. What he is proposing is, and you can basically see what it is that we'd be required to raise our registration fees by $50 this year, and then an additional $50 for the next 5 years. So 6 years from now, y'all would be paying $425 per person to attend a UPC course. Obviously, we are opposing that, and what I included, the bulk of this that I don't need to go over, but I just wanted you to be aware of the communication that was going back and forth. Dan Burton responded, his response is in the minutes. I gave him a response. Scott Meekum, who is the new chief financial officer, is that his title, Dan?
Right.
Okay. Has responded on behalf of the AG's office, and so we are in disagreement with that. The reason, well, obviously, I need to bring that to your attention, but what we're going to talk about is what is going to be our response to this. I've spoken with Senator Ipsen. He's on the executive office, you know, the Executive Offices and Criminal Justice Appropriations Subcommittee, is the vice chair of the Executive Appropriations Committee. Expressed my concern to him. He expressed his support for UPC. I've reached out to some of these other members, but I haven't reached out to all of them yet. So what is the best approach? Just simply reaching out? Do we want to conquer and divide? Do we determine who collectively we know on this list? Oh, excuse me. This is last year's subcommittee. I just got an email from Will Haynes, and Dan pointed out there is a new committee member, so disregard this list. Some of these may be the same, but I will get out a list of who the new committee members are. But those of you that are legislative smart, how do we proceed?
I mean, obviously, the personal approach, I think, is best. We look at the list, see who's on there, and I'm hoping some of the same folks are on there that I spoke with last year.
To Steve's point, I think any contact you have with your own legislators, they can then go back to these members on the list as well as members of the executive appropriations and say, this is not something we want to happen. And I think they will take that into consideration.
Sure.
Representative Pitcher is on the Executive Offices of Criminal Justice Appropriations. And because of her role as a prosecutor, she may be able to be an effective advocate.
Do we want to, like, make specific assignments who's going to reach out, or do we just say this is going to be a concerted effort for all of us?
I think we make specific assignments, yeah.
Okay. Then, let's see.
If you have the list.
I was just going to say, let me bring it up. Where, let's see.
Do you know Jerry Stevenson? He's the chair.
He almost likes me.
He almost likes you.
Is he still the chair?
I believe he is.
Okay.
That would be a really good call.
Okay.
Are you talking to executive appropriations or executive offices of criminal justice appropriations? So both?
Yes.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, EOCJ is going to make the recommendation, and then EAC is going to do whatever they want.
Yeah, so we start with the appropriations subcommittee. Okay, so here we go. So it looks like Senator Owens is the Senate Chair, Representative Acton is the Vice Chair, and then Bramble, Cullimore, Harper, Ipsen, Kitchen, Berkland, let's see, how do I, there we go. Burton, I know Burton, Dunnigan, Joel Ferry, he's the one that ran the bill that took us off surcharge, so I'm hoping he'll be supportive. Gwynn, Spackman, Moss, Pitcher, as we just heard, Roner, and Romero. Okay. Who knows Senator Owens? Anybody?
I do.
Do you? Okay.
I'm not sure it would harm if I would contact him or not. I can try though.
Well,
I did not get along.
No, as I will contact anybody that, you know, that...
I will contact him anyway, just because I'm his constituent. I will contact him anyway, but somebody's got a little more clout.
Okay. Okay. So I will contact him as well. Acton, Representative Acton.
I've worked with her on the DUI stuff last year.
Okay, so we'll see. Bramble?
Is it Utah County?
Utah County.
Okay. Okay, that will be me. Cullimore?
He's in Draper.
Yep.
I will be seeing him next week. I can mention him. I mean, I plan on talking to all these otherwise for our own budget.
Yeah.
I can specifically...
Okay, all right. I'll put Dan. All right, Harper?
He's here in Salt Lake County.
Okay, I'll reach out to him. Kitchen? I'll reach out to him as well.
I'm actually meeting with Kitchen on Friday.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll see. Berkland, I don't know her.
Morgan County?
Yeah. Wasatch Bank.
I'll reach out to her and the county attorney out there. We'll get in touch with her.
Okay. Not Sweat, but Swing. Okay. Burton, I will reach out to him. He was my commanding general. Dunnigan?
Dunnigan's on our CJAC. I'll talk to him.
Okay. Ferry, I'll reach out to Ferry because I worked with him when we swapped over. Gwynn? Anybody know Gwynn?
He's the chief in...
Up in...
He's chief.
I'll get a hold of him.
Okay, James?
I actually went last with him a month ago or so.
Okay. Spackman Moss? Okay, I've corresponded with her before. Pitcher, I'll reach out to Stephanie. Although, I was going to say Troy? No.
Troy's on the line.
Yeah, Troy's on the line. Troy, will you put some pressure on Ms. Stephanie Pitcher?
That is a difficult ask, but I'll try.
Okay.
I can definitely talk to Stephanie.
Yeah.
It's not an easy dynamic, guys. Just really quick, but also love her, respect and death, but I'm actually really careful about how I interact with her as a legislator, because I'm also her boss here in Davis County. She's not the meeting supervisor, but I'm one step above, so I'm really careful. So the way I do is I approach her and ask her thoughts, and then basically have a chance to express mine, but I handle that really carefully with Stephanie, so she can have complete autonomy to have her own opinions and not worry about the office dynamic, but I will talk to her.
Okay, and like I said, and I'll reach out to her as well, and I'm just sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, I appreciate your discretion. Okay, I don't know Weeks Roner.
She replaced Hall.
Oh.
Craig Hall.
Yeah, so I need to meet her at some point, so.
Okay, all right, well, and then Romero?
I can talk to her.
Okay, I was going to say, Marlise and I also.
Oh yeah, you guys go right ahead.
Are you going to be reaching out to her yet on anything that you know of this session?
I'm happy to reach out to her. We don't communicate regularly, even though she's the reason I have a job.
Yeah.
She's just really busy, and I think she figures handled, moved on. But yeah. I'm happy to reach out, and probably will anyway. But I think Will, if I know you've got a good relationship with her too, I don't think it can hurt with some of these folks, and I think she'll be very favorable to our position.
Oh yeah, once we tell her what the position is, she'll take that position.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the Appropriations Committee. Okay. Let's see. I think, Mr. Garcia, you said you might have somewhat of a tenuous relationship with Mr. Stevenson?
Okay. And Stuart Adams?
Yeah.
Okay,
last, I have reached out to him. I've been playing email, phone tag with him. I've already reached out to Ibsen, Spendlove. Anyone? The House Vice Chair? All right, I've got him. Stuart Adams is Steve. Cullimore.
He was on the previous list.
Yep, so that's Dan. Gene Davis.
He's mine.
Okay, we'll see. Escamilla. I've reached out to her a couple times. I'll do that one. Iwamoto.
We talk at least twice a day.
Okay, so that'll be Heather. We'll see. Yeah, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends.
I'm excited about it.
It's a relationship.
Okay. Senator Maine. Okay, I've got that one. Milner, Representative Milner.
I've got that.
Okay, or Senator Milner. All right, Steve. Let's see. Vickers.
Dotson was going to handle him.
Who is? Oh, Dotson.
Chad,
that's
Dotson.
Right. Yeah, Chad. Okay, Provost, Daily Provost. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do her. King. Anyone? Okay, I'll take that one.
Just a note on King. He has worked with Amos Giora very closely on victim issues. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, he ran a trauma, did a trauma thing a year or two ago as well, I think.
He's the bystander legislation and all of that.
Which that's what it
is. Victim education training oriented. So.
Yeah, okay. Quan.
Tell me I might be able to do my Jackie Childs impersonation at the conference after all.
Anybody with Quan? Okay, I'll do that one too.
Her. Shocked and shocked.
Yeah, Representative Moss. Okay, I got him. Peterson. I also know him from the Guard. I'll reach out to him. Schultz.
I can do Schultz.
Okay, Steve.
Does all leadership live in your district almost? I mean,
just about, right?
Yeah, Steve. No, it is. Stevenson, Stewart, and
never
Wilson.
Never letting you out of UPC.
Steve, arrange it. Tour of his ranch. I'll come with you on that one.
Representative Stoddard, I'll reach out to him. He's
I
one
can
of our...
do him too. I
okay,
to
Marlies.
With him.
Okay, he's a prosecutor. Yeah. Hopefully, he will.
And we understand.
Yeah, and last of all, Wilson.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, Garside. Okay, all right. So, what I will do is before you reach out to them is. I'll come up with some talking points and prepare just like a sheet that we can use. And so I've got A through I, however many that is, talking points. If you've had a chance to look at this, if not, here's what I came up with. And so I'm looking for any suggestions to add to this. We're mandated by law to prosecute state law. When we were created, it was the legislator's intent to train all prosecutors. The state is the customer, you know, is Alex, we mentioned this in SWAP, Alex keeps saying that, thanks James, that you prosecutors are our customers, but that's not the case, it's the state that is our customer. The legislators should want their prosecutors to be the best trained in the law, ethics, professionalism. When our funding source was changed, it was Ferry's intent that general funds replace that dwindling surcharge, and I would hope that it's his intent, or was his intent at the time, that the state continue to pay for prosecutors to be trained. We're the only agency that offers Utah-specific training, specifically the legislative and case law. Our conferences focus on Utah law. The state bar does not offer criminal prosecution, specific CLE for prosecutors, and as Marlies and Tyson and I have reported, last year, we attended, was it their advanced trial? Is that what they billed it as an advanced trial practice class that we...
Yeah, it was through the Utah Bar.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah, it was bad. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
And the comments that were being posted, there were many other people that joined in that opinion.
Yeah.
It was not, effective at all.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Who put it on?
The bar.
The state bar.
But they brought these people from the outside in and...
It was the, the bar sponsored it. It was a national organization that's really focused more towards defense attorneys.
Yeah.
But the bar sponsored it and ran it, and they had some local defense attorneys, some local judges. Not a single local prosecutor was involved in it at all. They only had national presenters as far as the prosecution side went. It was really poorly done.
Welcome, Robert. We're on page 6 of the agenda. We went ahead and got started.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Mom.
No, it's okay. In fact, it's the National Trial Academy. Is that
something?
So I reached out to them and said, hey, how do we join this? How do we nominate some prosecutors to become certified in your academy? And they says, we don't accept nominations. You know, you don't get to volunteer, you have to be nominated. I said, well, can I know who here in the state of Utah is in your academy so I could reach out and see if they would nominate some of our prosecutors, you know, because we've got phenomenal trainers. And they said, no, I can't tell you that. So they weren't really very interested in...
They didn't want Utah prosecutors.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, because that was one of Alex's. I don't think it's in the language that he's proposing to the legislature, but that was something that he said to me in another conversation is, well, you can just go get trained at the bar. Okay, the bar just doesn't meet our needs. He also says that if we raise our fees to $425, that's still a bargain compared to NDAA. That's apples and oranges, because NDAA, you know, is not going to train to Utah-specific law. And then the networking and camaraderie. So that's kind of what I came up with. I appreciate Dan's input. I used some of his ideas, but is there anything else that should go on this list that I can condense into talking points to send out to everybody?
Well, we're just moving so far away with why UPC was originally created. And again, the fees for attending were just something for someone to have some skin in the game. Otherwise, I mean, initially they actually, why are we, you know, we don't need a charge. Well, we need at least a token amount so someone will register then not show up.
Right.
And so.
So the intent, historically, the intent was, is that the surcharge was going to pay, we know that, but was that the specific intent is that the surcharge is going to pay for all of the training?
Yeah, the training would not be supported by the registration fees. Those would always be nominal, and maintain that way pretty well until we had a bump in the economy and didn't have any adjustment from the legislature. Well, as we know, the surcharges have not kept pace.
Right. Okay.
Something else, Bob, under your point under 7H, you talk about small jurisdictions. Coming from a small jurisdiction, I would adhere to that. I couldn't afford to send my attorneys and myself to the conferences more than once a year.
Right.
But I think more to the point, or something that could be added, and maybe I missed it in here, was what Will brought up about larger jurisdictions. At some point, they're going to say, no thanks. We can do this a lot cheaper in-house and things like that. And so I think that'd be important to add as well.
Yeah,
because I think essentially it's just going to price everybody out.
One thing,
Bob, go ahead.
I'll say, Bob, when was UPC created?
1990.
Is there legislative language around the time about why they were doing this? We can point back and say, look, you're now countering what was intended. That's a long time ago, so I don't know if there's records or not. Digital record of the legislative history.
That's a good point.
There's also the point that Dan mentioned before about the HB 281 cases, where we don't want a bunch of, not rogue, but every office has its own focus and needs in the state, and that differs. But having some consensus of uniformity in how we approach training and how we handle these cases, because ultimately the cases, you know, particularly the first degree, I mean, we know most prosecutors start out misdemeanor and then work up to felonies, and then the first degree cases that don't get prosecuted end up at the AG's office. I mean, we're all on the same team. We're not all on our separate islands. And that we are connected, not just because we train together, but because we work together.
Yeah, and that's huge too. Uniform, you want your laws uniformly prosecuted across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to go more on Marlisa's point, us in the smaller jurisdictions rely on our next county over or the AG's office very frequently. And so, again, I mean, just another point to that is, we all need to be on the same page. I've had a murder case that the AG's office helped me this last year. I've had a case involving a county employee that the next county over needed to prosecute. So, I mean, the smaller jurisdictions need that uniformity as much as anybody else.
One thing I was thinking about, and I don't know if this is counterproductive to our conversation with the legislature, but the reality is if the legislature is going to say, cities and counties, you need to pick up the cost of this service that's being provided to you as cities and counties, they're ignoring the fact that the legislature's already taken many steps the last few years that have severely impacted city and county budgets when it comes to prosecution anyway. This focus of going away from fines and surcharges and everything has impacted everybody across the board already. And so now you're gonna say, we're no longer gonna impose fines and surcharges that come to cities and counties to help fund the prosecution of these state cases, but now you're also gonna have to pay for your own training on how you can go effectively prosecute these state cases. And so it's almost like a double-edged sword of them cutting into budgets twice. But again, I don't know if pointing that out offends the legislature. But they've already done their job in cutting into revenues and things for cities and counties in the prosecution of state offenses.
Well, it's easy to talk about who shouldn't have to pay for the criminal justice system, including training prosecutors. It's the who will that nobody wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. These are all great. I love the uniformity especially and the history. Do you think there is going to be any history on that, Steve?
There's got to be something there. Again, Housley was the first executive director of UPC before Nash, but it might be worth calling Mark because he would have been,
at least aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, it used to all be the one organization,
right?
And then they split it off. So.
Okay.
A state full of prosecutors that don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best idea to me, but maybe we try it and see what happens.
Especially with currently society's sentiment towards prosecution to begin with.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just let them all do what they want, learn what they want, however they want, see how that works.
Yeah, and they do their minimum CLEs, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Who funds Post?
As Director Stevenson is, Post, I think, is general funds now, aren't you, Scott? Maybe he stepped away.
It's the state funds Post?
Yes. Yeah.
Does Post provide training to law enforcement officers across the state?
Yes.
And how much do they charge law enforcement officers to provide the training?
Well, no, I mean, Post, it does in-house training, but what Marlise was saying, Robert.
So Post, obviously they train the recruits, but then they partner with UPC under HB 200. We provide training throughout the state. The domestic violence offering that they are to do, they partnered with us, not by mandate, but they partnered with us. And so we're developing that curriculum. They also partner with Utah Police Officers Association. I'm not sure the partner is the right word there, but B.L. Smith. And so he brings in and is always posting trainings. So Post itself does not go out throughout the state. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding in working with them the last 3 years is they provide it. It looks like Director Stevenson's active now. So Director, can you speak to that?
B.L. is, we used to have strong regional reps throughout the state, and he still kind of carried that role as a region rep for the Wasatch Front area. And so a lot of trainings pushed through him, not necessarily endorsed by Post, but definitely recognizes hours that we credit towards their in-service. I'm missing that. Does that answer your question, Louise?
Yes. So, and I'm not sure if you heard the first part. I think you might have had to step away, but the budget our fiscal analyst basically doesn't want to continue to fund to the degree that they have UPC. And so then the question was, well, does post-train the officers?